discussing Roadhouse is gonna like kill it.
It is gonna kill it. You can only do it once.
I want Roadhouse to ever end.
There, Seth, you can sit there. Or no, you can sit there because Zach looks like he's got his computer set up to be there.
No, it doesn't really matter.
But yeah.
You get in there.
Somebody want a beer?
I opened one. I'll drink that. Blaine, it's never too early to start drinking beer, my friend.
Yeah. Huh? Those aren't twist offs, are they?
No, they're not.
Damn near were.
You didn't bring your your keys. Gonna work.
I've got a wine opener that kind of opens beer. So.
Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. Tonight, we're going to discuss a little film, a little gem from the 1980s called Roadhouse. Patrick Swayze, Keith David, or David Keith?
Keith David. Keith. David Keith is the white one.
Yeah, that's right. From Keith David and Ben Garza, Kelly Lynch, Sam Elliott. You drank it too quick there, I think. It's doing the foam thing.
I'll survive it.
What do you do to a beer to make it overflow? You tap it on top?
Yeah, you hit the top of it.
How does that work?
It just causes it all to fizz out real quick. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It works.
Like, could I just do it with my hand?
No, you have to do it with something hard. Something like
why?
Dude, I've seen it work in
movies. I've seen it work a lot, too.
I've seen it work on movies. They do it in movies.
I've seen it work in real life. IRL.
It ruins the entire beer.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And it's like
some dick move you do. Somebody.
We got some
Independence Day.
Independence, yeah. Independence Day on have something in the background. Okay.
We should say before we start here that, or while we're starting, that it's kind of fitting that we finally get to do this right now because Patrick Swayze is dying, and the Jeff Healey, the blind singer, just died of cancer himself, which he's had since he was an infant, because he had the
eye cancer.
Yeah, renoblastoma or something.
Wasn't he playing blind?
No, he was. Why would you do that for no reason? Yeah, just play a blind guy for no reason. No, he and he basically like his whole life he's been having surgery for, because I guess it not only makes him blind, but it basically causes tumors throughout your body that aren't. I guess they're not super deadly since he lived till he was like almost 50.
But Ian was pre-med, right? So you could.
I have no idea about this. I guess it's something that can happen. Maybe.
Let's see.
I don't
know. I guess it's something that can happen.
What's Rowdy's situation? How's Rowdy doing?
Rowdy Harrington, yeah. The director who no one's even heard of ever.
Uh huh.
Tinker.
I don't know what Tinker's up to. I should look.
Tinker's probably dead. So who wants to give a little play by play for the people? I could start.
Yeah, you do. My voice is kind of.
So basically, take Too Fast and Too Furious, Tokyo Drift, take it away from Japan, take Ludacris out of it, put in Patrick Swayze. Oh wait, that's Point Break. No, Roadhouse is kind of like Point Break, except no, it's kind of like. It's kind of like Dirty Dancing, except no Jerry Orbach.
You should have thought about this before you started.
Yeah.
It's not like any of those.
It's in its own league.
Take Citizen Kane, and then you add bits and pieces of Casablanca, and a little bit of gay porn, and then a smidge of...
Deliverance.
Maybe a little Deliverance.
Well, that is gay porn, I guess, right?
No, it's much better than gay porn. Trust me.
So Patrick Swayze plays...
Oh, Jeff Healey didn't even have real eyes. Those were fake eyes, apparently. Artificial eyes. Yet his eyes were surgically removed.
Ooh.
When he was 8 months old.
They should have just had empty sockets in the movie. That would have been awesome.
They should have had blood pouring from his empty sockets at all times.
Yeah, something like that. So Patrick Swayze plays a cooler named Dalton, who's living it big in NYC. And then this one guy...
New York?
Yeah, the plates were New York.
Yeah, his plates were New York, yeah.
Oh, right.
There's nothing about Tinker on Wikipedia.
What about www.tinker.com?
I'm sure it's going to go to some sort of porn site, so I'm not going to type it in.
And he gets a
piece of shit.
He gets recruited to come in and help clean up this place outside of Kansas City called the Double Deuce.
For good money, especially back
for good money. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. He says he asked him for $5,000 up front and then $500 at night.
A night plus
can
medical.
You believe that?
That's pretty expensive. And he's like, he's like, sounds fair enough.
It was supposed to be a quick job, anyways.
Yeah, it's about economics.
The whole movie is, and really, what it's about is that Ben Garza gets back from Korea and decides to create his own little area. And
it's Gazara.
So Gazara is is Bizarro.
Brad Wesley.
Yeah. So he as Brad Wesley. So he decides he's going to become his own little warlord. And really, this is he's a lot like General Kurtz from Apocalypse Now, or anything else like that. He keeps his people in order by giving them this rowdy place where they go and they drink and they fight and they squabble amongst themselves, because if they ever, you know, had a good time on a Friday night, they might wake up on Saturday and realize that they want to, you know, do some good things for their community and not just be under the thumb of this warlord Wesley who dictates how things are going to go, and he takes a percentage of everybody's business earnings.
10%, that's a lot. That's more than most companies make in profit, so it's like, it'd be hard to...
Yeah, essentially that's what he's doing, is he's keeping them under his thumb. And so that's the greater context of what's going on here. Dalton, by coming in to try and clean up the Double Deuce, is giving people like inspiration, maybe, I suppose, to take action and improve their own lives.
Kind of like in Death Wish 3.
Just exactly like in Death Wish 3.
Or Leprechaun 3.
Not at all like Leprechaun 3.
Hey, I have some interesting trivia here. Chris Latta played the bar patron who offered his wife's assets to be fondled for $20. He was the voice of Cobra Commander and Starscream in the cartoons.
That's the voice of Starscream?
Yeah, and Cobra Commander.
Oh, that is awesome.
Isn't that sweet?
Wow.
I don't got $20.
Yeah. It's got, like, what's interesting about this movie is that it's so stupid, but it's got like, really awesome lines in it. Every once in a while. Most of them are really stupid. It's just, like... The dialogue's mostly lame. Then there's just inspired stuff like "I used to fuck guys like you,"
or pain don't hurt.
Pain don't hurt.
Pain hurts my favorite. That shows us philosophy.
It's because it's also because it's completely stupid to say something like that. It doesn't make any sense at all.
And then they show him wincing when she's putting staples in.
He's like, oh,
no. So Blaine, this was you were a Roadhouse virgin.
Yeah.
This was your first viewing.
We made you throw toasts.
Roadhouse
to the
used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah.
So what do you feel?
It's a good movie. I had a lot of. I like the dialogue was hilarious, just because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know what? But
the characters.
You can also say that was a really good movie, right?
Yeah.
Besides it being stupid.
Well, it was awful, but it was awesome.
Do you think people resorted to pulling out knives a little too early?
Everyone had a knife, and the knives kept getting like bigger as the movie progressed.
Then they got small again, I think.
Yeah. The last one was small.
The Tails one, the one for
which
Tails.
Was fitting because Patrick Swayze was a small guy, like the movie.
Yeah. Exactly. They thought he'd be bigger when he was pitching to 10.
Zach, one thing I want to ask you about was Ian's previously mentioned that he thought that Roadhouse would be, quote, actually a good movie if it was Kurt Russell instead of Patrick Swayze.
Well, there was a few other things.
Yeah. You know what? Kurt Russell is too... He's always really cheery and friendly.
Uh-huh.
No matter what he tries to do, he's always cheery and friendly looking, and that wouldn't work for that.
It has
to
be Bangkok rules.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it has to be that, because if you have Swayze, then it's...
Then he can rip somebody's throat out.
Then he's a hard ass, and he doesn't care about anything. And the only times he smiles in that whole movie is anytime anyone says a really stupid joke that's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the one that the one guy that you thought was funny? Some terrible pun that somebody said. And he goes... and moves his head like, yeah, that's really funny.
And it was the old guy, right?
Yeah, the old guy said something to him. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember either. We'll remember in a minute.
I hope so.
I hope we do.
Is it something about his dick?
No,
that was pretty funny.
Pitch a tent.
Yeah, there was definitely, like, the one thing about a lot of 80s action films is that they put a lot of unintentionally homoerotic stuff in the and in this case it is.
And some intentionally.
Yeah, some intentionally. He's out there... Yeah, doing his sweaty yoga in the moonlight. And the old Santa Claus guy who wears red long johns. Like, he's out there.
His landlord.
And he's staring and going like, oh. And then after the scene, after he's practiced for a long time, it shows him and he's taking his hat off and he's running his hands through his hair while he watches.
They always focus on people for like way too long in that movie. Or like a few seconds too long and you're like, what the fuck?
Rowdy just didn't plan his shots very well, maybe.
I don't think he's ever even directed anything else. Let's see. Oh, cultural impact. I'll skip back. I'll skip back to later.
Yeah.
Let's see.
He broke the mold with Roadhouse. That was it for him.
He did.
He broke the mold. I'd like to point out that Wesley is driving one of those three-wheel Humvee things, and those are dangerous. Those will tip over.
It was a three-wheel. I thought it was a three-wheel.
So anyone needs to know that if they see Roadhouse, they may be driven to want to emulate Wesley, but they should not be driving.
I've driven on one of those. They're dangerous.
Yeah, they are.
I drove on one a long time ago.
Very dangerous.
Let's see what Rowdy Harrington's up to these days. You didn't really do the plot justice. First of all, there's really nothing that happens in this movie. What happens is this guy hires him, the guy with the weirdest balding pattern I've ever seen, hires him to clean up his bar. And he gets there.
Pat Tillman.
And then the whole movie goes on like until the very end, goes on like this. Something gets burned down, and then he meets a girl, and then something else gets burned down. And
people show up and fight and pick up trucks.
Yeah, but it's like this sort of like ebb and flow thing where it's not like... It's not like this rationing plot where things are getting more dangerous and stuff.
The knives got bigger.
I guess that's how he showed that.
The explosions got bigger a little bit, but then kind of calmed down.
But so then, you know, I mean, I don't even know what I would say the plot points were if I had to, you know.
Well, Sam Elliott showing up was sort of a turn.
He wasn't even necessary.
Well, yeah, no, the only time
he was necessary because he died.
Yeah, because, you have to have somebody die for him to get upset. It has to be motivation. Close to him.
That was the main.
And Guzzara makes his decisions based on coin flips too.
Yeah,
looks like he.
He left the coin there too. He had the note, but he also left the coin to show him.
I didn't see that.
He left the coin.
Yeah, the knife and the paper, and the coin was sitting on top. Just to prove that he wasn't lying.
I didn't make this up. I swear, I chose this from random chance. Rowdy Harrington used to be the stage manager on Growing Pains.
Wow. How come you didn't get DiCaprio to be in
this? Oh, dude, he directed Striking Distance.
About Torque.
With Bruce Willis?
No, and then he directed something called Gladiator in 92, which wasn't the real one.
Is that one? Check on that. I think that's got Brian Dennehy.
You hope it's got
Dennehy. I think it does. It's about, like, fighting.
It's the fighting one. It's got Cuba Gooding Jr.
And Brian Dennehy, right?
Robert Loggia.
Dude, I totally.
Brian Dennehy. Yeah.
I totally. We gotta watch that one of these days. It's a good movie. No, it's a good.
I really don't.
Want to. No, definitely with Brian Dennehy, dude. Come on,
just keep nagging about it. He'll come around.
Yeah,
I'll break down eventually.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna make you guys watch Roadhouse too. Then. We'll have to.
I was joking about. I didn't know they made one.
I know. It's his nephew or something like that.
It's Roadhouse's nephew.
Yeah, Roadhouse's nephew.
They should just call him Roadhouse.
I think this is the first time I've actually seen the whole
Roadhouse 2 Last Call. It's 7 years later and telling the story of Dalton's adult son. It featured no one from the original cast.
He didn't even have a son that they mentioned in the first one.
Yeah, they just make it up.
Whoa, my gosh. The same time Roadhouse 2 was released, the original film was reissued in a deluxe edition featuring, among other features, separate audio commentary tracks by director Roddy Harrington, Kevin Smith, and Scott Mosier. Kevin Smith. Yeah, just because he probably loves the movie.
I don't know.
I think he does. That makes I guess I feel better about Kevin Smith now. The plot summary is so long on Wikipedia, it's stupid. Like, you have to explain, like...
Then they show up in a pickup trucks and they walk in and they're like, you're not supposed to be here.
You can't even really talk about the plot.
Left boot.
Yeah, he's able to see immediately. And then there's this massive glint of light off the guy's boot. Because, they had a PA wave a flashlight across it or something like that. So that it would gleam into the camera.
Have you guys seen Walking Tall?
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of the new one with The Rock.
Yeah. Well, it's that same sort of thing. Roadhouse was probably based on...
With DTRJ? Yeah, DTRJ is in that one, right? Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
With Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Dwayne, that's what he calls him by some insane...
The
4x4
was pretty awesome.
Huh?
Yeah, the 4x4.
The 4x4 that he had,
And it was evidence in the courtroom, and then when he got acquitted, he went up and grabbed it with the evidence tag on it and laughed.
Have you seen it?
The new one?
Yeah.
The new one. I saw the new one, and I tried to, like, zone it all out.
I probably remember that about grabbing the evidence.
Yeah.
What I thought was stupid is that...
He's going to use...
This is my weapon.
And I used to beat this guy.
So, the original Walking Tall is rated R.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... That was... what's his name? Joe Don Baker.
Oh, wow.
What year is that?
The 70s sometime. So, then they remake it with The Rock, and it's PG-13. Then they have Walking Tall 2 with Kevin Sorbo, and that's rated R again. Yeah.
Never heard of that one.
Kevin Sorbo, the Hercules.
It was probably just released on DVD.
Or... Why would you make the, you know, why go rated R with the sequel? It bugs me when you go PG-13 with a movie.
Probably because you're releasing it on DVD. I mean, it's not going to be, it's not a huge, big budget thing, and you already have, you know, an audience from the first one with The Rock.
Yeah.
Any specific points of this master series film Roadhouse that anyone wants to bring up? I know that you for years would love to just go Wesley for no reason,
the night Seth and I first met Blaine, we had played poker or something. As we were driving back to Ian's house from his house, there was this moment of awkward silence, and he said, "I need to ask you something," and I said, "What's that?" And he said, "What do you think of Roadhouse?" And I think I said something along the lines of, "It's simultaneously the worst and the best movie I've ever seen." And he's like, "That's all I needed to know." Something like that. So
that's right.
You can tell what you think about someone by their estimation of Roadhouse is basically the point of this.
Yeah. Well, because Ian's now talking like he actually enjoyed the movie, but
before he always had a problem with Roadhouse.
Dude, it's hilarious though.
Yeah, I always knew it was hilarious, but like I couldn't sit through it. Like Seth,
you couldn't sit through Roadhouse.
On my own, like on TV, like Seth will wake up in the morning on like a Sunday and be watching Roadhouse. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch Roadhouse. Like, how high? Like, how you bothered me all those times. Like, dude, go back to How High. Like, no, I don't want to watch How High.
How High is good. I didn't even, like, I watched it in bits and pieces. So it was like the third or fourth time before that I've seen it that I even understood what it was about.
They're smoking their buddy.
Yeah. You know what's the dumbest thing about How High? Is that they titled it that to try to make it a play on, like, high school. Uh-huh. But they're in college. That's why it doesn't work. I actually rented it like after the third time I saw it, I rented it and I watched commentary.
Uh-huh.
And they explained that the title was supposed to be like high school high and stuff. Like you put the word high in there when it's a high school thing so that you know that they're playing on the academic structure.
Yeah.
But they're never in high school in the movie. It's all in college.
They're freshmen in college. So they were
But they're like 35 years old. Method Man and Red Man are both like they're almost 40. They're not... You know, no one's going to believe they're 18.
Nope. No one buys it. It don't work.
Lark Voorhees, isn't that?
Lark. I love that. Yeah. From Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
That dog don't hunt, Mijo.
Yeah. That dog don't hunt.
Yeah.
Your dick's flopping around.
All the coolers free ball.
Yeah, that's one thing that linked them together is that you know that he does because he just wakes up and puts on jeans. He probably zipped up some pubic hair.
The purpose of that one?
Well, just so you could see his ass.
No. The purpose of free balling, you said?
Oh, it's because saying in case any unexpected blowjobs happen. If you expect unexpected blowjobs, you have to go.
And then one of the first rules that he was explaining to all the other bouncers was expect the unexpected.
Expect the unexpected, exactly.
And that, clearly
it goes to his underwear life as well. And then he must have learned that from Wade because he pulls down his, unzips his pants to show this scar that ends up being up here, like about 12 inches above his pants.
Pulls it all the way.
But he pulls his pants down so you can see about 3 inches of pubic hair.
Maybe his pubes are like right below his navel.
They're all gnarly and gray like his head, right?
Oh, man. Sam Elliott is really, I love the guy.
And, yeah.
And he can't act in any other way than the same thing he does, which is like, he turns his head really far and then, like, looks one direction. Mm-hmm. And he's always looking down. He never, kind of like, ponderous. Looks up at all. Usually he has more of a beard going on.
Yeah.
And that one, he just has, like, a really...
How many actors don't just play the same character in every movie they're in?
There's some that can really do it. Dustin Hoffman's a good actor.
Yeah.
There you
go. But there's only... I'm not saying there's a handful of
there's people. Dustin Hoffman and there's everyone else. I think that more people in this movie should have had no underwear on. I think that there was a point where the girl was doing her striptease thing... and her she was like laying on the ground doing the hey look at my cooch thing, like with your legs kicking up and down, and she had like really big white like granny panties on.
Yeah,
I was
expecting
one thing I like is this: when you have some like naked hot person in a movie, and then they have a person reacting to them with like great delight, like they're supposed to tell us that that naked person is hot.
Oh, like in Hard Target with where he's in the coma and Kelly,
yeah,
LeBrock, like yeah. looks under the
you look under the dick and they're like, oh yeah, they get all excited and like
when he gets out of the bed in Roadhouse,
yeah, yeah, when he gets out of the bed, the girl like looks at his ass a few times and she's like.
Went far and away. Before Kidman.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You look under a blanket at a dick, and you're and
instead of saying he's got a huge cock, yeah. She's like she does with her face.
Well, the one that's annoyed me the most is in The Sum of All Fears, which is
the Bone Collector. Get it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, in The Sum of All Fears, it's the girl who's playing Ben Affleck's wife, and Ben Affleck is the young Jack Ryan. And some girl is like, so first of all, we already know he's a badass.
It's a Moynihan, right?
It might have been, yeah.
It's your buddy Tom Brady, TB's ex.
TB, tuberculosis. And her friend goes, so this guy you've been going out with lately, what's he like? And she's like, oh, he's great. You know, he's the high school star quarterback, football player, CIA guy.
Yeah.
And she goes,
everything
she's
you're
like,
not, right?
What does he look like? 1 to 10. And there's this long pause and she goes, 11. Like, we needed to know that. Like, I need to be, like, you know...
attracted to the guy.
Well, no. Like, I need to feel bad that Ben Affleck is better looking than me. You know, like they're doing that to every person who's watching the movie. You know? And for the record, I don't think he is.
But Jason Statham.
I like Jason, you know.
Yeah.
I'd have sex with him.
He's badass.
He is badass.
Yeah.
No, but, you know...
Transporter.
If they remade Farmer. Roadhouse, would you put... Jason Statham in it?
No. Have no. Jason Statham can't do
it.
He can't.
With the, he'd go with Uzi with a silencer on it.
Yeah.
Like, Roadhouse, I think one of the things is that they had... It would have been better if they had less bouncers. He had, like, 20 guys working for him underneath him. As like a, yeah. He had, like, an army of bouncers.
He did.
So it's kind of like, well, you know, I could be a cooler if I had 20 guys that I could, you know, order around.
And all you had to do was, like, go like this.
Yeah.
Wave your head around.
And I always understood what he meant. He's like...
Yeah.
There's no, like... None of the signals, yeah. like the
he should have been doing
Army
should have
used Air Force
signals.
Right. He had to keep doing this to people.
Watching you.
I think that and the fight scenes were like this Rowdy Harrington guy obviously wasn't that great a director, but it looked like an 80s action film. I had like we've talked about the lighting that's done in those movies.
It, did.
It definitely looked like a John McTiernan type thing.
Yeah.
And the fight scenes didn't look bad. I think one problem you have these days, like with the Bourne movies, is that you have the handy cam, but not only that, you're shaking around, and then you do tons of fast cuts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell what's going on in a Bourne Identity or any of the Bourne movie fight scenes. You cannot tell what's happening. You know that things are crashing.
Yeah.
What?
I don't like those movies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the problem. And like the one good thing they do about in things like this is you don't have a lot of cuts. You get... like a wide, not a wide angle, but like a full body shot of both guys, and they punch each other a few times. Then you cut to another angle of them doing it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
The old Jackie Chan movies and stuff. Hong Kong fight.
The pole vault off the fat guy.
Yeah, that was great.
With the pool cue.
The pool cue. Yeah, and the stage is like up here. It's like this high, and he like does this like triple flip, and like he wouldn't have enough room to do that with the pool cue. That was great. That guy was awesome. He looks kind of like my uncle, first of all. The guy who wears all denim all the time. And he had the sweet cross earring.
And he had a raptor claw on his
neck. A raptor claw around his neck.
It was another one of the... We think that there's sort of an anti-religion subtext in the film with Red talk... the one
about
guy talking
church,
talking
yeah.
about $100 for the church. Yeah. And then this other guy's got the cross earring. So
yeah.
Ooh, maybe maybe Rowdy's got it.
Well, we know that since Dalton is philosophical, he's not religious.
Yeah.
He's got to be some sort of atheist.
Or some sort of Zen Buddhist.
Yeah, what a dick.
Anybody that's philosophical can't be religious.
Yeah. No, exactly. Unless you're a religious philosopher. But then usually...
then you're a theologian.
That's a lie.
There's tons of religious philosophers in the history of the world. Blaine.
Being sarcastic.
Anyway, I think that the only thing this movie was missing... was full frontal male nudity. It had everything else you could hope for in it. There was a decent amount of female nudity.
Who
are
you hoping for, Sam Elliott or Dalton? Or Wesley?
Well, you know, I was
Tinker, you probably
Tinker
couldn't see it.
Nah, his dick would have hung. One thing I enjoyed about Tinker was that every time we saw him, no matter what type of different shirt he's wearing, I think that was realistic, that they showed under tit sweat. the wood tinker, like seeping out onto his shirt.
Well, it probably didn't. It probably wasn't planned by the director.
Think so?
It was probably just like, if I just stood up on set and you were sweating,
he probably was. You don't think Rowdy Harrington was like, wait a minute, you're really fat. You would have sweat pouring out of the middle of your where your breasts are.
They don't recall him by his name, Tinker, until the end of the movie.
Until the end, yeah. I knew he was Tinker just because of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry if I spoiled that. Ben Gazzara.
It's not that hard to pronounce. It's Gazzara.
Gazzara. I did it.
Okay, that guy. that guy says, "I believe you, Tinker." That's like in the middle of a movie.
Yeah, you're right. You were just talking about one coward.
I think, you know what?
I think they say it in the beginning also. So there's the beginning of the movie. They say Tinker.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the movie, they say Tinker. And at the end, he's really the bookend. He's the plot point, sort of.
It's like a Tinker point. He's the thin line
that keeps everything sane in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the greatest thing about Tinker, though, is that since he's the comic relief, like, first of all, normally you'd have a comic relief good guy.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of do with the old man, which is because he looks stupid.
Yeah.
He likes watching Tinker's character on Dalton's crew.
That's true. But he wasn't his, like...
No, he wasn't.
And there's the mini Tinker that they take out.
There was mini Tinker, yeah. there's too many Tinkers. Rowdy Harrington probably looks like Tinker. That's why he wanted.
They're probably all his like brothers and nephews.
He wanted to populate the film.
And he was probably well aware of the undertit sweat.
Yeah, he knew all about it. I'm sweating right now. I just woke up and took a shower, so I know you've got to be. Let's spray some more water on there. I'm imagining that his name is Rowdy Harrington. He talks with a southern accent too. That's the thing. That's one thing that I don't like about that type of character. It's fun to watch in retrospect, but nothing bothers me more than some holier-than-thou character who's like does everything right, like you know, does everything the right way.
That's why he's doing yoga.
Yeah, but that's not a big deal in the '80s, you know. Yeah, while he was doing yoga, he should have been jogging and coughing and smoking, protected, or Domino protected.
Yeah. Sex with him.
Yeah, there was definitely a Domino.
You ever explain about Domino?
Seth and I were. Well, I've seen Domino three times. Not the movie.
Okay, it's a reference to the rapper.
Why did you see it three times?
You guys all remember the rapper Domino from the 90s, right? No, he had Sweet Potato Pie,
but the song before that, I don't remember what it was called.
Doesn't matter.
I vaguely remember that song. I didn't know who did it, though.
No, I know Ski-Lo. So basically, the thing is, and I watched this Domino video, like the fourth time, it just really annoyed. He's talking about he's getting with this chick, and it shows it in the thing. And he's like, and she's screaming. And basically, I turn to Seth as we're watching this, and I'm like, well, no shit, that's because he didn't take his pants off. She's getting a wad full of khaki. That can't be feeling too great.
Yeah, he's basically dry humping this chick, like with his khakis on, and then the lyrics are, she's screaming.
So we always say whenever we see a movie where it looks like that no one accounted for like, you know,
taking their underwear off, or whatever.
The thing is, you always are supposed to expect that they have unzipped and they're just kind of,
yeah,
their massive rod is hanging out.
Well, in his case, he didn't take her underwear off.
He
did take her underwear off.
Wait, they showed him go up.
No, they didn't show him pushed it down. And then he came back up, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
So then there was no Domino.
Maybe she had crotchless panties.
Maybe.
One that's always bugged me is when the girl, they do the thing where like you're watching a rated R movie, but they think maybe, oh, you know, maybe her with her clothes off is pushing it a little too far. So the girl was wearing a bra and panties. Like some guy's going to have sex with some chick while she's wearing all her clothes, you know, there's no one in their house or anything. You know, we're just kind of, they don't know the camera's there. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be the real world of the movie.
Is she double bag ugly?
No, not even single bag.
Like normal people. Yeah.
I thought they got a little Jim Carrey for a second. It's Independence Day.
Robert Loggia. Give me the president.
You guys keep talking. I need to
hear. Oh, man.
Then wake him.
Missiles are ineffective. Conventional weapons don't work.
Did Owen Wilson in this movie?
It's behind enemy lines.
Oh, yeah.
Where would you guys place Roadhouse in the pantheon of
Master Series
great action films?
It's my favorite movie of all time, I think. I have to put it up there
really close to the top.
I can't think of anything that's better.
The thing that holds it back a little bit for me is that since I have the dual, like, I love it because it's so bad, and I just love it because it's just a fun action-type movie thing. And one thing I refused to watch it for many years because it didn't look to me like a regular action movie. And it's not.
No, it's not.
Some bouncers beating each other up.
You refuse to watch it? Like somebody's trying to push it on you?
No, people are like, hey, let's watch Roadhouse. And I'm like, no.
That's like what Ian did.
Well, no, it was just because
cut from the same cloth exactly.
Take some movie where some actor that you really hate. There's nothing I like about Patrick Swayze.
Oh, me neither. I can't stand any of his other movies.
Yeah, exactly. And you put him on the cover, and you're like, it's a movie about a bouncer.
See.
And then everyone's like, it's great.
I probably would have fell in the same trap you guys did, but like, nobody ever tried to like get me to watch it. I was just like chilling out one day, and I was watching on TV out of the corner of my eye, and I, not paying attention, and I kind of like slowly like figured out that it was awesome.
And before you knew it, you were inches away from the screen, on your knees, crying.
And your civilization had been destroyed by some other civilization.
So, the one thing that holds me back is like, saying it's my favorite movie doesn't work, because there is a huge percentage of irony in me liking it. Like,
so if there was full frontal male nudity,
that would probably help actually. Like, you know, like in my actual favorite movies, they're generally like dramas. They're generally like movies that are meant to be serious. I really love the first Alien movie. That's one of my favorite movies. I really love.
I think Predator is better than Alien myself.
But for ironic purpose, I love Predator for what it is. And there's some movies I enjoy watching more than Alien. But just watching Alien, it seems to me like the perfect film. It's like absolutely well done. And I got to give Aliens more credit than I usually do, because I watched it again last night, even that super long version.
Yeah, the stupid director's cut version.
It's got way too much. Like, I think it's better than when you don't see the
It's absolutely movie. Better when you arrive there and it's a ghost town.
The only movie that I think might be better than Roadhouse is Goodfellas, in my opinion.
I'm not such a huge fan of that either. I like Goodfellas. I think I liked Godfather better.
Well, as a movie, yeah, but it's, I mean, Goodfellas is more.
It's a character study.
Stop saying that.
If Joe Pesci would have been in Godfather as like a son,
as the Godfather.
Is that Lovejoy?
No, dude, it's Michael Biehn.
This is Tombstone.
Yeah. I changed it because Blaine wouldn't stop watching Independence Day. We need his vital input. Here's the thing.
Also, you say Roadhouse is my favorite.
You were the Roadhouse version, so we're going to let you...
No.
Yeah, we're going to let you talk now about, like, how was it compared to how people had set it up for you?
Now, in the context of being a Roadhouse version...
You laughed pretty heartily in a few moments.
It was,
here's the thing. Anyone who watched it when it came out of the theater probably didn't laugh at it. Because it was meant to be taken as...
serious?
And it's totally taken on the second life as this movie is just so dumb, mostly, you know? But, like...
I don't...
Oh, see, Seth would have gone to the theater.
But would you have laughed?
dude, remember you put the DVD in and just like the opening menu, he started laughing.
I didn't know you guys were serious.
About watching? Yeah. You thought this was all some
The whole time he thought it was a joke. Like, I have the DVD. I'm bringing the DVD over here.
He makes my mom go rent Roadhouse.
I asked her if she could pick it up on the way home.
I come over and she's like, I rented this movie and you want it. Roadhouse? I'm like, oh, okay.
You thought this was all still part of an elaborate practice?
I sit over there.
No, we make good on that. We don't fuck around on the Fuel podcast.
If I tell you I'm going to watch something, by God, I'm going to watch it. Blaine.
What?
What'd you think of Roadhouse, man?
I thought it was funny how, like, when he was, like, in the doctor's office, and he said he was a philosopher.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's the most cliche.
It's so fucking stupid, because they're trying to add depth to a character.
Yeah, right. That doesn't have like, any.
So by just using a word.
Yeah. It's just some angry guy.
I was a philosopher.
The coolest thing about the movie, I think, is this, and this gets overlooked, is that in most movies like this, the character is facing this, like, challenge, right?
Yeah.
The struggle. And there's usually a point where he really, like, almost wants to give up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... really not. I mean, they're in sort of ways, like when he's right before Sam Elliott dies, he's like saying, "Oh yeah, we're gonna get out of here and stuff." But that's just kind of like a there's no like real like, "Oh man, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm gonna have to just back away from this whole, you know, whatever's going on." He just kind of knows no shit about him. He just takes care of business.
Well, in his only thing, like where his character supposedly kind of grows is like he's someone who, like, you can tell since the Memphis thing. He's someone who runs from things. And there's constant mention of the fact that he doesn't stay very long in one place. Because he's constantly running basically from that old thing that really bothered him, which is he killed somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and then he ends up killing like 50 people at the end. Not 50, but like a handful, you know? So what I think is that, so that's fine. You can put something like that in an action movie. That's perfectly, you know, reasonable and logical that makes that character, you know, that he makes him that have to have something to strive for. And then when he decides to stay and stick it out, you know, and because he has to, he's pushed to the limit, and he decides, you know, he's going to get over his killing thing and kill some more. So the thing that bothers me is that all the other characters,
it's like it could go through puberty.
My throat's totally about. So all the other characters are flip flopping on what they want him to do. Yeah. The girl character, Doc, I don't know her name was Clay, something Clay.
Yeah.
So
Elizabeth.
All she does is she's like,
remember she was heads.
What are you doing? You got to fight. Why don't you stop and just run away? And then he's like, fine. And then next time she's like, why you always got to run? Why don't you stand here and stand up for yourself? Like, she seriously does that like four times, you know, like you don't even notice because it doesn't matter. But
yeah, exactly. I didn't notice.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I was listening thinking that just screws all that does is lengthen the plot a little bit, like so that he has to go and prove the opposite or whatever. So the whole thing was that like, you know, and then, the Wade, you know, Wade, Sam Elliott character comes in and he's constantly saying, let's get out of here. And then like, well, the thing that bugged me was that he's someone who, you know, he's like a real hard ass, but his thing is that when Swayze comes to him and says, Wesley won, man, it's over. Let's get out of here. He's like, good, real good. I want you to just chicken shit out. Let's get out of here, you
chicken
pussy.
Dick.
Chicken dick.
Total chicken dick.
You know, like you think that his teacher wasn't... I know that he had the line there about, you know, you taught me as much as I taught you, which is like he taught him how to be a pussy, basically. You know? And like, you taught me that, you know, the best way to win a fight is just know when your ass is beat and walk away, slink away with your tail between your legs.
The other thing is that, like, there's no real conflict. I mean, there's a bar that's got fights happening for no reason. And cleaning up those fights is not going to hurt Wesley's 10% of the time. Yeah, no. It's got nothing to do with it.
No, but it does. I just explained that.
What escalates things is that Wesley's own ego is stroked when people pay him off and think he's so great. And then when that kind of stops because of this guy, then he ups the ante and starts blowing shit up.
But I think if the bar owner would have just, you know, done some more Sharpie action on the walls, he could have taken care of it all without less bloodshed.
Yeah, he could have turned different
stairs. Changed fucking to Buick a couple of times.
Uh-huh. I love that. You're right. He had this absolutely self-satisfied look on his face afterwards. He's like, all right, this place is looking up. And then he goes into his office.
All it did was like always appear out of his.
It's in a different color, so you can tell than what it said before.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a different color. And not only that, but it's all block letters. And he puts a dot on the I, which has always bothered me. Every time I've seen it bothers me that he has a lowercase I there.
I never thought of that. I was like,
that kind of stuff.
But no, I think if you look at the subtext, you can see that Wesley is the warlord of this tiny.
There's no subtext. Stop trying to put warlord in this.
He needs his slaves. He needs his masses to be sort of
disgruntled and unhappy. He doesn't want somebody coming in there, and you know.
And isn't it because he took his woman?
Well, that's a big part of it. You don't find that out until like halfway through.
I know. It's kind of a
his
throwaway,
half-retarded nephew that was doing a poor job of skimming off the top.
It's like minor things. And
they put a lot of those things in there, which is kind of weird now that you think about it. Like, usually there's one sort of reason why someone acts a certain way, but they really put many reasons in there. Like, Wesley's character has about 15 different reasons why he wants to get revenge and lord it over everybody. And
we mentioned two, so what are the other 13?
Well, I mean, it's the thing about his... you know, how he's got complete control and this guy's messing with it. And there's the thing about the girl and there's the thing about his nephew. And I mean, it ends up being also that he, you know, he kills his special bodyguard guy, gay guy.
He's not gay. I know. If you were in prison, you'd probably be banging all kinds of dudes.
I would be getting banged by dudes in prison. I'm not powerful enough to to rape guys in the shower. And by the way,
Blaine looks like he thinks differently.
I how this thing always happens in movies is that somebody leans over, someone stands straight up with their ass in the air and leans over to pick up the soap. Why don't you just kneel down and get it?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to bend over to pick up soap.
I'd go find some other soap.
I mean, you can literally just kind of go.
Actually, I just not like use
this,
soap.
No, this is what we need soap. A video podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
He said that the other day because my
just demonstrated how to not get
gesticulation.
Fucked in the ass.
Yeah, just kind of bend down.
Can't
of course,
you just
then
you
risk getting fucked
soap.
In the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Take a shower without soap.
soap on a rope.
I would ask the guards, can I take a shower after everyone's left? Can you let me in here?
Then the guards would fuck you.
They probably would. With nightsticks. That's even worse. With ribbed nightsticks. they have ribbed for her pleasure nightsticks.
That's awful.
When you're brutalizing your people, you gotta be ribbed so they at least don't feel like they're being raped. They're getting some fun out of it.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway,
they don't feel like they're being raped.
Wesley gets all these reasons. And Dalton's thing, like, another thing with Dalton is, like, they really slow, very, very slowly reveal who's doing what for what motivation.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, really.
Tinker's
motivation is that he likes being petted on the head by Wesley.
I believe you, Tinker. Yeah. You're too dumb to lie.
Yeah. That, you know, and so, like, the first half of the movie is, like, just kind of people getting beat up in the bar. And then the second half is, like,
people,
you know why he does that? Because he killed some guy, you know, and like, or, you know, so there are flaws, little flaws in Roadhouse.
Very tiny.
But,
they revealed a lot of the key things but late
here's,
in the movie.
Yeah, they did, but here's the thing. At least they did it. This one thing we argued with this last time Michael was here again about the
Beowulf thing.
About the Beowulf thing, is that...
That looks like a real turd sandwich in the movie.
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, there's things that seem cliched that are in movies, but you have to have them in there. They must be in there. There's no, like, you can do it in an inventive way, but you take any great movie.
Talk about plot points?
Not just plot points, but characters.
I mean, like, in the case of this one, it's not done that well. It's just a telling. It's just Sam Elliott. It just tells us it anecdotally with Dalton, like,
but
you
that's
didn't know she was married.
Yeah.
The guy points a gun at you. You're either going to get killed or you're going to kill him.
And that's fine. I mean, what it is
we understand.
What it is we have a reason behind his drive to do something.
What?
And that's what's important.
That's the other thing I like about this movie is that, like, they didn't spend too much time on all the, like, lovey-dovey relationship crap and, like, all the backstory. Like in the first Alien vs. Predator movie, there's, like, 45 minutes before they even get to the freaking Predators or Aliens or anything.
Yeah, make with the Predators.
It's like, in Roadhouse, it's just like, you know, They're roadhousing it up.
Yeah, they roadhouse immediately.
Yeah, and so
when that guy wants to try him.
Yeah,
and back in NYC.
Yeah.
So there's no like all this backstory that takes like forever, and all the character development that takes like 45 minutes before you can even start the movie.
No, yeah. it's definitely it is a character study film. But
here's the thing that I really appreciate about Roadhouse. In any other movie, they would have put the girl in harm's way at the end. Wesley would have kidnapped
her. That's true.
They didn't do that. They didn't, they didn't dick around.
Well, he flipped the coin.
Yeah.
They probably did that while they were shooting the movie.
Maybe. Yeah.
The script was like a true
story. The point is that puts the onus back on
Dalton.
On Dalton. To decide that he's going to go and kill Wesley.
Yeah.
Which is what he does, you know?
He decided not to kill Wesley at the end.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's going to go and kill everyone
he's
around
gonna
him.
Although Wesley took more shotguns shots than lived than RoboCop.
I got to say, when Wesley claims that
RoboCop lived,
when he thought
they're,
it would be
fun, they're remaking RoboCop,
but they didn't do any body shots.
Why? Well,
they're not remaking it. They're going to have another RoboCop,
fourth RoboCop.
Yep.
Will you be able to see?
Maybe you sat through RoboCop 3 there, Nick, because you promised me that I'd see.
They took the wire scene out, but there was a scene in like the original, like the old VHSs. If you find one where like you can see that the wire is.
Holy
liar. You're such a liar. No, I'm serious.
And so we watched like the last half an hour of RoboCop, and it's like
RoboCop 3 is one of the worst movies I've ever had to sit through.
No, I know. And Ian made me sit through it because we all do our problems with wires here. And it's like any second now, he's like half
an hour. RoboCop 2 is really flawed but very entertaining. And the first one is awesome. I love
I haven't seen any of those movies in forever except for that one you made me sit through.
But you know what I'm talking about with this Dalton thing? Mm-hmm. Is that
he chose to go back.
They didn't go to that thing. It's like, well, he chose to go back because of his friend dying.
What's his first name?
Brad Wesley?
No, Dalton.
Oh, yeah, Dalton.
Somebody said Dalton.
It's
Dalton.
Just Dalton.
Yeah. Just Dalton.
That's cool
Dalton.
Also.
Like yeah,
Madonna. You should have said, hey,
or Cher. Right.
I know what Madonna's last name is, though, so that doesn't work. It's Ciccone. Madonna Ciccone.
Yeah.
It's Italian.
It's Esther.
It's Italian.
Let's see. Oh, guess what? IMDb tells you what his first name is. James.
James.
Did they say in the movie?
Maybe they tell you in Roadhouse, too.
I know. I think they might real quickly. Like, maybe the guy... when the guy's
That'd be
real,
stupid if they did.
No, the guy's real low-talking. He's like, you're James Dalton, aren't you? You know? Because that guy was, like, really low-talking at the beginning.
Voice, like, never trust him.
And then, you know...
No, he always plays bad guys, too. That
like
one
guy.
No.
One thing about...
It was weird.
Excuse me, ladies. So, Blaine, what is your grade?
What?
What's your grade?
I don't know. A plus.
No, be serious. You go first, and then we'll tell you what we really think of it.
You're going to be the standard.
I'll just give it an A, just because I thought it was hilarious. Because
you don't want to get beat up.
No.
You really, honestly, you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, well, I guess...
I have a philosophical question for you, then.
It was really corny, but, I mean, that's what I loved most about it.
I have a question for you, then.
What?
Can you knowingly give something an A when you can know that the director and the people who made it didn't mean for it to be funny?
That's true.
That's my question.
That's very deep.
Here's the thing.
But I'm like Patrick Swayze. I'm not.
If they had meant to make it like that, I would give that movie an A+. If they had meant to make it like that.
Yeah, that's true.
How can you know the answer to that, though?
Well, because
it's an 80s action film. There's no such thing as...
Yeah, but the thing is, when they mean to make it like that, it ends up being something like one of those parody movies, like superhero movies.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, like, look at something like Kiss Kiss.
It wasn't intentionally filmed.
Like, when there's, like, if you put some, like, that's meant to be an action comedy type thing.
Okay.
It wasn't intentionally
filmed. A Shane Roth thing.
So you're saying, graded on what it was?
Graded on what it was supposed to be?
What it was supposed to be. You can do two grades. It's something that I like, ironically, I'll give it an A. It's something that, as an actual movie, what would you
give it? I'd probably give it, like, a B.
I'd probably give it, like, a C plus as an actual movie.
Well,
that's not true. I would give it a B.
I
would give it a B.
This generic separation.
See, Seth's confronting the truth is that you can't separate your love of something for ironic purposes from your actual love
and
of it.
Say you watched it, you're the age you are now, and you watched that movie in 1989.
Right.
And
not,
and you're an 80s guy.
You're an 80s guy. Like,
and you're
like, it's cool to tell people you fucked them in prison.
I'll answer your question. You have to answer mine. Like, say you're, 46 years old and you're living in Honduras.
Right.
And like the movie was different and you watched it then what grade would you give it? It's the same kind of question you're asking me.
But what I'm saying is, you're looking at it now, however many years later, like almost, it's almost been 20 years since this movie
came out. Yeah, you're like, corny.
In anything that's taken super seriously back then.
What do you mean it's almost been 20? Oh, yes, in 89, that's right. I thought it was 87.
Been 20 years, no. It's almost been 20 years. And what I'm saying is, like, they didn't mean it to be a cult comedy classic. They did not mean that movie to be that. So if you watched it went the way they meant it
to You know what? Honestly, when I watch that movie by myself, which I do, I don't laugh. I
do every time.
I know. I take it. I just sit there and watch, and I enjoy it.
All right. So what grade does that mean for you? The grade thing is stupid. I don't. We always do that.
A and an A.
Hey, look. There's Wade Garrett.
See him.
And Kurt Russell.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, Kurt Russell. Ian wanted to play Dalton.
What an idiot! What a retard.
You guys.
Yeah, he doesn't have a nice ass as Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, we know from Tango and Cash, right?
Tango and Cash.
Swayze's ass is much better than Russell's. Russell's a little bit flabby.
I'm going to have to go A plus on this one.
Both ways. A plus both ways.
There's no both ways.
I give it an A and then a B.
Did this happen before?
No.
This happens all the time. I give it a B minus for its actual reasoning.
For sure.
I'm gonna
it's
getting beat up for sure.
It's got all the stuff he says. It's got like the obligatory backstory element to show his motivation. It does give him. He does choose to do it at the end rather than because of some girl in peril. So it's not completely derivative. It's got a lot of stupid lines that are funny, ironic.
And I pull those off of fat.
Yeah. And you know what? It is different from other action films. You don't see action films in that sort of setting.
No.
Like, and you wouldn't expect that by me explaining. This movie, say I like came up to you.
Like there's
never
no
heard of
bad
it.
Guys in
yeah.
it. There's no commies, as Sam Elliott references.
Hey, would you like to see a movie I just made? Patrick Swayze is a bouncer in it. That's it. That's what happens. You'd be like, no thanks. But so it ends up being much better than someone explaining Roadhouse to you. It ends up being better than that. So I gotta say that they succeeded. What I want to know is how come Roddy Harrington hasn't become a huge director? How come he didn't make Long Kiss Goodnight?
Well, he did make Gladiator, which we will be watching very soon.
I will never watch that
movie. With Brian Dennehy.
I will never watch
Make Gladiator. Him think you're weak when you're really strong.
You now like Brian Dennehy more than anyone should.
Brian Dennehy is the shit.
It's a man crush.
I like...
Think about it. Remember, he's like, get over here, take your medicine.
Yeah, take your medicine. It's whiskey. It's not really medicine.
Don't fuck up my car.
You know what we should argue about right now?
What?
Since Plan's here?
What?
We should argue about whether or not Daniel Plainview is a good parent.
More of that.
Isn't it Plainfield?
It's Plainfield.
Plainfield?
Maybe it's Plainview. I don't know.
He speaks plainly. Plain speak.
He does.
But he doesn't.
But yeah, you want to. You can get into that.
I totally will, man.
Better than an overly coddling father that just sits there and hugs his son and they both cry.
Not overly coddling, but one who obviously has affection for his kid. How about that?
He had affection for
him. No, he didn't.
Only when there was oil involved. He's like, oil.
And by the way, so the first few months we did the podcast, everything was hunky-dory. Because I would say something completely smart and intelligent, and he'd be like, that's true. And then one day he goes, you know, Seth was listening to these, and he thinks that I should disagree with you more.
No, honestly.
And so now I say anything at all, and he comes with some just batshit insane response that just to be
contradictory.
Just to be contradictory. He says things that, like, we'll four of us will have seen a movie, and three of us will be like, yeah, that's exactly. And I'll be like, whoa! And then come in with something that is, like, you know, so thank you for that. Each one of you a kiss. This is my kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people, too. People who smile at you. And each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home, Chicago. Why, I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town. She should have just been freeballing.
I've never heard that used for a woman before.
What do you call it? Free?
Free oven?
Your ovaries are hanging out.
She had prolapse. Well, yeah,
that would be so gross if a girl's ovaries just hung out of her vagina.
Oh my god!
Wouldn't that be great? You had to like carefully hold them out of the way while you're having sex with them. She holds
the rich. The real rich people hire two dwarves to hold one.
When you curtsy, you just hold your ovaries and duck a couple times.
You're gonna cut this out, right?
No,
he's not gonna cut this out.